This is the state of things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Phoebe Judge. The North Carolina primary is just days away, and early voting is underway. White House hopefuls from both parties are visiting the state to make their final pleas for votes. Do these visits matter, and will we know the nominees by this time next week? Joining me now, as he often does, is political junkie Ken Rudin. Welcome back, Ken.
Thank you, Phoebe.
So, Ken, Hillary Clinton came to Durham yesterday. She canceled her Raleigh visit. Bernie Sanders is taking the stage in Raleigh momentarily. Ted Cruz will be in Fayetteville on Monday, and Donald Trump was there earlier this week. Do all these visits matter?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, it seems like for the first time in my memory, it seems like debates seem to be writing this entire campaign rhetoric, campaign strategy, and all that stuff. It seems like the debates are the be all, and you know, it just seems like everything is about the. I'm sorry, I'm just falling all over the place looking at what's going on right now. But it seems like the debates are being the most important. The campaign visits don't seem to be as crucial as they have in the past, because every 2 days it seems like there's another debate and people are tuned in record numbers as well.
You know, and for anyone who's been watching these debates, as I have, I watched the Republican debate last night, and I thought, what's going on? I was used to all of the yelling and screaming, and last night something very different was going on. The four remaining GOP candidates were in Miami, and they had the much more subdued tone than earlier debates. Here's Donald Trump talking about it.
We're going to come up with solutions. We're going to find the answers to things. And so far, I cannot believe how civil it's been up here.
So why this shift in tone?
Well, that's a good question. And I think the Republicans who are trying to topple Donald Trump have been trying every possible strategy, and none seems to be working. The perfect example is Marco Rubio, who is still the choice of the establishment, whatever the establishment means anymore. But there are some times where he is just trying to be above the fray, and that didn't work. There was a time during a debate where he was almost like a robot. Chris Christie called him out on that, and that didn't work. The last debate, last week's debate, they were in the gutter talking about the size of fingers and the size of body parts, and that was a huge embarrassment. So I think the feeling is you might as well just try to bring the best face forward and the best argument forward. But, you know, every kind of strategy they use against Donald Trump hasn't been working. I've seen on social media all morning today that everybody is lambasting the Republicans. Well, this was your last chance to take on Donald Trump. Well, nothing works. So I don't think there's any other way to campaign right now except trying to bring your best case forward. And I think Marco Rubio did that. But having said that, will it matter on Tuesday? I mean, so much is at stake on Tuesday. Does it matter? We'll see on Tuesday. But, you know, right now it just seems like whatever Donald Trump says, I mean, he could say things about Common Core that make no sense. He could talk about U.S.-Cuba relations, which seems to be lacking in facts. And yet the audience eats it up and his numbers keep going up.
Well, let's hear Marco Rubio's last kind of chance to talk about Donald Trump and his candor. This is Marco Rubio speaking last night in the debate.
I know that a lot of people find appeal in the things Donald says because he says what people wish they could say. The problem is presidents can't just say anything they want.
I wonder, and I've wondered this for a while, do you think it's possible, we didn't have to do this last night, but in earlier debates when they were all yelling and speaking over each other, why didn't someone just cut the mics?
You know something, I find myself yelling at the TV more this campaign season than ever before. And when, especially last week's debate, I guess it was in Detroit hosted by CNN, and when they're all talking over each other, I'm thinking the same thing. Turn off the mic. Don't let this happen. I mean, we keep calling. I mean, it was Wolf Blitzer who was the debate moderator. And I would think a moderator means you moderate something, not just ask a question and then step back and let everybody savage each other. So I was very surprised that hasn't happened in the past. And last night there was no talking over each other at all. You would see Donald Trump raise a finger saying, I'd like to be called on after my opponent, gives an answer. So, you know, this should have happened a long time ago. But again, as we're saying, we're days away from the March 15th primaries. In many ways, this could be very, very crucial, especially on the Republican side.
Let's talk about what's going on in North Carolina. Earlier this week at a Trump rally in Fayetteville, a white Trump supporter punched an African-American protester. He's been charged. Inside Edition got a video of the alleged assailant. Let's hear.
We don't know who he is, but we know he's not acting like an American.
So he deserved it?
Every bit of it.
What was that?
Yes, he deserved it. The next time we see him, we might have to kill him.
You know, that's pretty wild tape to be going on.
It's beyond, Phoebe, it's beyond wild. It's frightening, as sometimes as alarming as some of the Donald Trump rhetoric is. You go to the audiences, you go to the rallies, you see what goes on there. The language there, the signs there, the epithets that are yelled at there is just remarkable. You know, that little piece of tape I just heard, in the background, interesting, is the Rolling Stones, you can't always get what you want. But that's what Donald Trump brings to these people. He tells people you can get what you want because he's going to make everything better. And as far as specific solutions, they're not there. But he'll tell you what you want to hear, and they'll line up for it. And if you have the temerity to go to a rally and either show some kind of a disobedience, silent disobedience, or a protest, you're taking your life in your hands. It's frightening. And Donald Trump was called on it last night in the debate. He said, well, I hope I'm not contributing to this. But when he tells people, get him out, get him out, get him out, or disregarding protesters' safety, it's a scary sight to see in American politics.
Well, let's hear what Trump said last night in the debate about the violence at his rallies.
Some of your critics point to quotes that you've made at these rallies, including February 23rd, I'd like to punch him in the face, referring to a protester. February 27th, in the good old days, they'd have ripped him out of that seat so fast. February 1st, knock the crap out of him, would you? Seriously, okay, just knock the hell. I promise you, I will pay for the legal fees. I promise.
We have some protesters who are bad dudes. They have done bad things. They are swinging, they are really dangerous, and they get in there and they start hitting people. And we had a couple big, strong, powerful guys doing damage to people, not only the loudness I don't mind, but doing serious damage. And if they're going to be taken out, I be honest, I mean, we have to run something. And it's not me. It's usually the municipal government, the police, because I don't have guards all over these stadiums. I mean, we fill up stadiums.
Let's continue. That was Donald Trump speaking last night about the violence at his rallies. Let's continue to talk about Trump for a couple of minutes. And that's this morning. Some big news. Ben Carson endorsed Donald Trump. Trump announced that he would last night, kind of previewed this endorsement that was going to happen this morning. What does this do for Trump, having Carson come over at this late stage in the game?
You know, we've seen a lot of endorsements in this campaign cycle, and most of them don't mean anything, especially when you're talking about when they endorse the non-Trump candidates. If you think of Marco Rubio, to a lesser extent, the other candidates, but Marco Rubio and Jeb Bush before him got seemingly all the endorsements in almost every state, and it did nothing for them. Think of what happened in South Carolina when the whole establishment was lining up behind either Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio, and Donald Trump won that primary. But when Donald Trump gets an endorsement, whether it's Chris Christie, whether it's Ben Carson, I love the fact that both Ben Carson and David Duke like Donald Trump. It's an interesting combination there. But even when Trump gets all these endorsements that theoretically don't make that much sense, they get big headlines. And if you want to dismiss Donald Trump as a fancy celebrity candidate only who can't win over moderate and establishment Republicans, then you get these endorsements. You get the Ben Carsons and the Chris Christies and Jeff Sessions, the senator from Alabama. And then people start to say, well, he may not be really out there when he's getting these endorsements. But the Ben Carson thing seemed to be the most surreal of all, given the fact how much Trump ridiculed and mocked Carson during the debate. It was disappointing for many people, but this is a very surreal campaign. All the candidates seem surreal, and for all the shaking of the head and the high negatives that Donald Trump has in these approval-disapproval numbers, he's still the leading and almost... I mean, right now it's hard to see that he's pushed away from getting the nomination, yet there's so many Republicans say, how could this be happening?
So just finally, so how much does Tuesday matter? If we say that maybe Trump has this in the bag, what are we looking for on Tuesday to kind of seal the deal if that's going to happen?
Well, first of all, I won't say that Trump has it in the bag, and two, I hate to say this about North Carolina because we know in November North Carolina is a crucial, crucial swing state. It has been in the past. It's probably one of the top seven states in the whole country in November. But having said that, with Marco Rubio hanging on precariously, with John Kasich having not won a primary yet, the Florida and Ohio primaries on Tuesday are getting all the attention. North Carolina is probably under the radar, but if Donald Trump wins North Carolina big, if Hillary Clinton wins North Carolina big, as the numbers suggest, then North Carolina may play an even bigger role in reaching and getting those two nominees across the finish line, even though most of the attention is not on North Carolina on Tuesday.
Well, we've got a lot to look for in the next coming days. Thanks so much for being here.
Phoebe, thanks so much.
Ken Rudin is the political junkie. This is The State of Things. Just ahead, a local author tells the little-known story of Mary Surratt, a player in the Lincoln assassination. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.